104.5 The Zone drops the puck on Nashville Predators Hockey Talk. This is the Neutral Zone, presented by Lion Zone, with Christopher and Darren Martell, and Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports, from the Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Welcome into another episode of the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. Christopher Martell alongside Alex Doherty from A to Z Sports and Darren Martell from Dinky Town, Minnesota.
Oh boy.
Oh man, we're going to have a great show tonight at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter. It's our Twitter handle. You can Twitter us out of there.
And it's, you can tweet us.
You can tweet us there too. 615-737-1045 is our number. Call us. Lines are always open. You give us a call about anything you want to talk about, and we will make sure to answer. If I sound at all like I'm slurring my words, it's because I bit the whole right half of my tongue a day ago, and it really does not feel too well.
I'm sure that's the reason.
You know, like my Arnold Schwarzenegger voice. Seriously, it's like unforced Schwarzenegger voice sometimes.
Unforced Schwarzenegger.
Yep. So we got quite a lot to talk about tonight.
We do.
Nashville finally finds a 3-game win streak just to let it go against a team that's had their number for the last 2 years. We'll diagnose the previous 4 games and look ahead to the next 3. We look at the TSN trade bait board, and we're going to go down the list of options for the Preds and whether or not the options line up for something David Poile might want to accomplish. We have a whole slate of Twitter questions tonight that have been pouring in throughout the day. We've got that, the Kobayashi Maru, and more. First up, as always, though, it's Coach's Challenge.
Coach's Challenge.
Now, the phone lines are open, 615-737-1045. You want to tune in and you want to get into the conversation at all, that's our number. Preds grabbed 3 huge wins over the Islanders and a back-to-back over the state. Oh, excuse me. Let me rephrase
the
that.
Islanders.
The Preds grabbed 3 huge wins, one over the Islanders, and then a back-to-back over St. Louis, but then lose to Carolina. And now they sit 3 points out of the wild card still. What was good? What was bad? And, you know, I think one thing you got to think about before we go into that is even though the Preds still sit 3 points out of the wild card, one thing they do still have going in their favor is the fact that they have so many games in hand on the Flames and on the Coyotes.
Isn't it during the start of this month or last month together, they have the best record tied with in the Western Conference for wins?
They did until last night.
Well, honestly, last night's game, I expected them to lose, honestly. Carolina, I think you mentioned this earlier on Twitter, has had Nashville's number for almost 2 years
now. Not 2 years. They're 7-1 in their last 8 games against the Preds.
They have yet to be able to find a way to solve Mrazek.
Yeah, Peter Mrazek. Peter Mrazek.
He go to 9-1 against the Preds.
9-1, and he's 5-0 in Bridgestone Arena.
Oh, this is just a crazy statistic.
With one shutout, but a crazy save percentage.
Yeah. It's weird how it's almost like when Jonathan Bernier played for the Kings against Nashville.
Yeah.
Had Nashville's number, and then when he got traded to Anaheim.
Oh boy, he fell
apart
during that series. Once Gibson went out and Bernier went in, I knew that's it.
That was it.
They're going to the Cup final.
But what I was going to say was I think that. I don't think you could find a better back-to-back wins this season for the Predators
than the
2 St. Louis Blues wins, because even earlier in the year when they beat the Blues back-to-back, one of those was a shootout win, so the Blues got a point in that one. To sweep St. Louis, two regulation wins, and to sweep St. Louis 4-0 for this team to do that is just, frankly, kind of unbelievable.
Yeah. What gives me a great amount of confidence is the fact that not only did they win, but they looked like the better team for
maybe the first part of the second game, Sunday game, when Pekka was fantastic.
Well, and just watching both of the goaltenders, you have Bennington and Allen, both of them look like they're kind of on the same level. I know that St. Louis has been in kind of a slump recently, but I didn't want to attribute that to, you know, the Preds being able to beat them. But just watching the goaltender play is like the Preds easily, in all 4 games this season, have had St. Louis's number. So it was almost watching this weekend's games with him. It was almost, I didn't want to call it a lock for a win, but I was very confident in the fact that they'd at least pull out one of the games. So thankfully, they got 2. So.
And then they lose Carolina, of course. We just talked about that. One thing that should maintain Nashville's interest is the fact that Coyotes play right now. They're losing 2-1 to Dallas.
Good.
And if they, regardless of what happens in this game, they will have 63 games played. Mm-hmm. Nashville has played 59 games. And even if Arizona comes back to win, that's a 5-point gap with
four games.
That's 8 points. Points to get. And the only teams in front of Nashville right now are Winnipeg, who has played 2 more games than Nashville, and they're 2 points ahead. Mm-hmm. You have Arizona, who has played 3 games, will be 4, and they're 3 points ahead. And you have Calgary, who's played 2 games more, and they're 3 points ahead. And one of the things that people like to look at is they look and see, okay, well, Nashville's still 3 points back of the wild card, but they tend to forget, hey, listen, there's a thing called games played. Mm-hmm. And right now, Nashville's won 7 of their last 11 games. And they are starting to figure some stuff out here. They're getting some much better goaltending, you know, and if some of the pieces start really clicking, and I'm talking like if the bounces start going the way for players like Philip Forsberg mm-hmm. and Matt Duchene, if they start going
Victor
in.
Victor Arvidsson.
There were just a lot of awkward bounces in last night's game.
Well, here's a really good example about Philip Forsberg. Everybody got quote unquote hyped this morning about some contextual conversation about Philip Forsberg on Tuesday night, in the capacity of, you know, he hasn't scored but 4 goals through the calendar year, mm-hmm. and I think it was more of a contextualness of, hey, he's got to produce more, which is true. It would be nice if Philip Forsberg produced a little bit more, but I think the fact remains. Is if you look at some of his individual 5-on-5, his 5-on-5 isolated play, mm-hmm. Which showcases how he essentially when he's on the ice, how the play is tilted in the Predators' favor or mm-hmm. against the Predators' favor, and where that traffic is driven. Mm-hmm. When he's on the ice, the entire map is literally almost right towards the net.
You know what Preds fans do not need to be worried about?
Philip Forsberg. Yeah.
Because that guy, every single night, is still doing some really good things on the ice.
Every night.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't think that the context of this was really the issue. And I think there's nothing wrong with Philip Forsberg. I think he's gonna be fine.
I agree.
If Preds fans want to be worried about something, it's that the bottom pairing defense continues to be bad. It's that Ryan Ellis is not healthy and not back. And
that's the question. If Ryan Ellis is anywhere between 75 and 90% healthy, and they're just trying to get him to 100.
Well, it just seems like so many people right now are expecting him to come back so soon. But what they're expecting him to be the end-all, be-all answer to everything. I see him coming back and making a difference, but he's not going to be, oh, great, Ryan Ellis is back. That means we're going to win every single game until the end of the season.
I don't know. Dan Hanius is a black hole defensively.
Well, I know. I'm not saying he's not going to make a difference.
Jared Tenorti. When you don't put him with Matthias Ekholm is a black hole defensively. I think Jared Tenorti is still kind of a brown hole. You know,
actually,
wait a second, buddy.
No, I mean, like, you have levels of darkness. Okay, I mean, black is the blackest of blacks.
I'm just gonna move right past that. But I'm just gonna say this. I actually think Jared Tenorti's been a little bit better than Dan Hamhuis recently.
Okay, no, that's fair.
He's been playing with a better partner, but
Dan Hamhuis laid down on the ice. Yep. And let it go. I mean, really, he laid down on the ice and it was just like, maybe this will help our defense a little bit. And it bounced off his leg into the net. Okay, ta-da.
He was trying to get cable for that antenna on top of his head. But at some point.
Fixing his bunny ears?
Yes. Can we talk about how atrocious the penalty kill is?
Well, let's talk about it.
That's all I can say. That is all I can say.
How atrocious is? How about being 31st in the NHL? You want to talk about how bad the penalty kill is?
Well, it gets to the point to where
it's as bad as the power play was last year.
So there's another dead horse we're beating.
It can only get better.
It can get statistically worse.
I said it can only get better.
It can get statistically worse.
Not the 31st.
It could be 32nd. It could just be worse.
Technically, Seattle has a worst penalty kill right now.
That doesn't count. They're not here yet. No, it just gets to the point where when they go on the penalty kill, you're automatically biting your fingernails and wondering at what point are they going to let a goal in.
I saw a tweet come across. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was perfect. that it said, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's crazy to believe that that the Carolina Hurricanes scored 5 seconds into a power play where they lost the offensive zone face-off. And I'm sitting here going, that's pretty crazy, but yeah. I mean, that's the Preds penalty kill for you. They're they're stellar at what they do.
That's the worst. The worst part about it is just the carelessness that it seems the Predators are playing with. I mean, you'll see two or three games where they're so disciplined and they know exactly what they're doing. Then they'll get on the ice for the next game, and here goes a stick up to someone's face. Oops, I tripped you. Oh, no. Ah, it's another penalty. We'll kill it off. No, you won't.
I mean, what do you think, Al? I mean, what do you think, Alex? And what do you think is, I mean, can we narrow it down to just being Ryan Ellis being out of the equation, or can we narrow it down to a systemic issue, or what do you think?
Are you talking about the penalty kill?
Yeah.
I have not looked at the tape on the penalty kill recently.
Why am I asking you that?
However, I do know that John Hines had a fantastic penalty kill with New Jersey.
Yes, he did.
Over the course of his career there, they had a very solid box formation, really, really tight formation. And the first couple games when he was with the Preds, it looked great. And then somehow they went away from it. So I'm thinking maybe it's just not really an emphasis of theirs right now. Maybe it needs to be. So maybe it's just a matter of they're not making it as much of a focus as they should be. Remember, like, you know, when the power play was so bad last year, it took it to get really bad before they actually really, really started working on it.
And they couldn't. They were so far gone, it just couldn't get anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. So it could be something similar to that. The good thing is the goaltending on the penalty kill has been better. So that's something to hang your hat on.
Well, we're going to talk more about the penalty kill later, probably. But we got the TSN Big Board coming up here in just a few minutes, and we're going to get to that. But first off, let me talk to you about the folks at Lion Zone. Have you ever wanted to get your business to the next level? Have you watched your sales sputter and customer count plateau? Maybe you need a boost in the right direction. You need Lion Zone. They've been around since 1999. They're a results-driven digital advertising agency that can do everything from lead generation, social, mobile, email marketing, websites, hosting, graphic design, digital advertising, and more. Whether you're looking to grow big or small, the great folks at Lion Zone have your back and will get you where you need to go. Give them a call at 615-353-0402 or visit them online at www.lionzone.com. Lion Zone, Nashville's leading internet marketing agency since 1999 and title sponsor of the Neutral Zone. After the break, TSN Big Board. Do the Preds have any targets whatsoever at all over the next 5 days? We will get into it and more. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lion Zone, 104.5 The Zone.
Sponsored.
Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on a 104.5 The Zone. At Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter is a good way to reach us. You can also reach us at 615-737-1045. That's our number here in the studio. Call in if you have a take, hot take, cold take, warm take, whatever it is. If you want to take your take, and we'll take your take. Yes,
lukewarm takes.
We'll take all them takes. We're going to get to the TSN Big Board. TSN has a whole bunch of options as what they consider to be their trade bait list. And we're going to look through some of these guys and see if they could fit the role for the Predators.
Primarily the defenseman, right?
I would say that's the bulk of what we're going to be looking at.
And so can we set a kind of a general guideline?
This was
guideline?
Your idea. Go ahead.
Let's set a general guideline on this because okay. I think the money, it's an easy thing to just get to say, well, Chris Kreider's too expensive because they don't have that amount of money on their pay. Let's go and assume that the money works out, because usually these trades are, you know, the trade happens and each side, they make the money even. Either one side takes all the money or sends some of it, or somehow the money works out. So, like, let's assume that the kind of the money side of it is not really the issue, and it's more about fit, and it's more about who the player is and whether, you know, what the cost might be, that kind of thing.
Okay. So, that being said, I'm going to moderate here, and I'm going to let you guys debate it. No,
right,
no, no.
You're more smart about the trading than I am.
Well, we're going to bring you in here, Smarty Pants, okay?
Yay.
Mister, I've got an opinion about everything. Here
I
we
do.
Go.
I All do. Right. It's halfway wrong most of the time.
Well, you know, it's going to be 100% wrong.
Let's start with the number one on the list, and we're actually watching him right now.
Yes.
Chris Kreider with New York. Left winger. He's only 28, scored several goals. He's got 24 goals, I think, now. UFA, this is a pure rental. What do you think?
No.
I'm with you. No.
Here's the thing is that I think, I mean,
I can't help.
What do you think, Darren?
You're the moderator.
Go
You're
ahead.
Not supposed to answer.
Well, I mean,
I say no. Main reason is because why
You're
try
like
to add
the
more
Bloomberg here?
No. Oh, that's a bad. That is bad compared to how he's doing
Come
right
on,
now.
Come on, Mayor Mike, what you got, buddy?
Well, you know, I did this first.
I make a lot of money.
I bought my way onto the show. Yes. No, but why go for a winger or anybody who can score more? I mean, they went out and got Duchesne, and obviously it's not working. I mean, I'm not trying to dog Duchesne. What are you looking at me like that?
I don't know that it's not working as much as that's not the problem.
Yes.
That's not the problem with the Predators right now.
Yeah.
Let's look just right now. Let's look specifically at defensemen.
Okay. Well, perfect, because next on the list is
Sammy Vatanen.
Sammy Vatanen with the New Jersey Devils, who are just selling everything. So he's
based on the prices, though, I mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So Sammy Vatanen, this is obviously we saw most of his play when he was with Anaheim, and then they traded, I believe that was in the Adam Henrique deal. He went over there a couple years ago. So he's a solid defenseman. He's kind of, I think he at one point was seen as more of a puck-moving defenseman. I'm not sure if that's how New Jersey's moving him. I'm not sure what they're doing with any of their players.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 21, 22 minutes a night. I mean, he's only 28 years old. He's UFA. What do you think about this?
Well, that's a big thing because age right there is a huge number. I mean, 28's not bad, but if you're talking about like someone who was like 35, 36, that's when you get a little bit worried because of their speed and because of what they can do with who they're paired up with.
For a guy that is seen more as a two-way guy, he doesn't put up a ton of points. I mean, he does not score a lot of goals, and he's like a smaller version of maybe Mattias Ekholm or something.
At this point, if I'm the Nashville Predators, I'm not worried about how many goals he can put up as long as he's not afraid to block a shot or get in front of a puck or get traffic out in front of Rene or Saros and just make good decisions on the ice. And that's one of the biggest problems right now with the Predators defense.
Dan Hughes or
laying down and fading.
Well, you know, I think one of the good things about Sammy Vatanen is his ability to really not just corral the puck defensively at even strength, but to do so on the power play. Nashville, of course, has gone with a non-traditional 4-forward, 1-defenseman approach for the last, I don't know, couple of seasons now.
And that's working.
And I mean, well, relatively speaking, it's
better
working.
Than it was last year.
Yeah, it's much better than it was last year. But I think my biggest concern is that when you look at a player, you look at a defenseman that Nashville needs, it has to fit the role. Yeah. It has to fit the role of what Nashville's looking for. And what Nashville's looking for is likely a right-handed shooting defenseman.
And a lockdown defenseman.
And a lockdown defenseman.
Good defensively first.
And I think Vatanen would definitely fill that role. But, I know you said you didn't want to look into it, but one of the main factors with Vatanen is his price tag. And his price tag right now hovers around $5 million. And the Preds have less than $3 million in caps,
and so to get New Jersey to trade for that, you'd probably have to give up more, right?
Because you'd either have to give up more, or they'd have to eat some salary,
right? Well, exactly. Yeah.
Who do you give up at this point? Because you're talking about two of the biggest trade blocks are Smith and Granlund, and both of them have kind of stepped up their game.
I don't think you look at it that way.
I don't think New Jersey would want to buy either one of those. I think you'd have to. This would be a buy. Send off your prospects or draft picks in order to get him. I think a guy like Sammy Vatanen at this point would cost at least a second round pick.
Well, I mean, you have to look at what the Devils have. The Devils already have 3 first round picks for this upcoming year.
You could give them their second round pick back that you took from them for.
Just give them Tomasino.
This is true. Nashville's got all their picks but the 4th and 7th this year.
Oh.
So, I mean, would a first and their own second round pick be enough to get Vatanen over?
Well, he can't have that many picks, why not just go for it?
Well, here's the problem again. Darren, I mean, he makes 4 point however much million dollars a year.
And he's a UFA, so you'd have to sign him. So
4.875 million.
I'm going to go ahead
and money to eat.
Just in the interest, because I do want to get some of the other names, I'm going to go ahead and say no on Sammy Vatanen.
Isn't he injured right now?
Oh, is he?
Well, I mean,
I like how he's carrying that broken leg.
No. He's missed his 8th straight game as of Tuesday.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say that he won't be healthy by the time he gets back.
They might be holding him out because they know they want to trade
him. Very possible. Go ahead.
Okay, so the next on the list is Jean-Gabriel Pageau, who's a center for Ottawa. Let's go ahead and skip him because I don't think they're...
Let's just go defensively at this point. Yeah, because, cool. I mean, to me, I'm just being realistic here.
So you don't think they're going to get Ilya Kovalchuk?
maybe. You don't know. I mean, he's looking pretty good.
I totally agree with you. Defenseman only. Next on the list, Erik Gustafsson with Chicago.
That's an interesting option.
Let's go skip him.
Yeah, let's do that.
No, they're not going to trade for Erik Gustafsson.
Plus, I don't think Chicago's going to trade in division. I wouldn't think they would do that.
That would not be a good trade for the Predators, I don't think. I mean, he had a decent year last year, but I just don't think that's what they need. I think he's a bigger dude. He's not exactly. I think it would take a while for a guy like him to kind of fit into the system, and he's not a plug and play kind of guy. So,
like how Brian Boyle was.
Yeah, I want to. If it's okay with you guys, I want to go down a couple numbers here.
Okay. I think I know who you're going for.
No, I don't think you do.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Kimmo Timonen.
No. I want to go to a more veteran guy by the name of Mike Green for Detroit.
Okay.
Pricey, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, $5.38 million.
How old is he?
He is 34.
That's getting up. That's the kind of wavery kind of.
Right, but I think he is an option the Preds wouldn't necessarily be outside the realm of looking towards. I mean, offensively, he's like Ham use level effective.
He fell off a cliff offensively.
I'd say no from the get-go. How hard is it going to be for him to fit into the system? Not only that, but be able to play with different line mates.
Here's my thing. He plays roughly 21 minutes a night right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his best days, of course, are long behind him. I think his best season was probably a couple years ago. But right now he still has a positive percentage in the defensive play in the defensive zone. And that's what you want. I mean, when you compare, and this is absolutely dead serious here. When you compare a player like Mike Green to Dan Hamhuis, okay? I'm looking.
Watch your mouth.
Now listen, I'm looking at some of his isolated visuals, okay?
I'm probably looking at the exact same thing
Dan Hamhuis, even strength defense is a minus 4%. Mike Green is a plus 1%, okay? It's a 5% difference, okay? Now, I understand that's not a lot.
That's substantial.
But contextually, when you see how Hamhuis has played this year, you need something a little bit better.
Well, yeah.
You need something a little bit better.
Especially if you want that push to at least get you to that second wild card. I mean, you'll do anything at this point.
But considering that Mike Green has done – what I'm looking at is just this season for Detroit. Considering that Mike Green has played very good defense on maybe the worst team in the cap era in Detroit this year.
Yeah, there you go.
That is pretty impressive. I know it's isolated, but you can never totally rule out. You can't totally isolate the team that he's playing on.
No,
He has been. I guess what I'm saying is Mike Green. That would be a solid ad.
Ultimately,
would you consider Mike Green the Jake Taylor?
Here's what I'm going to get at, and because we're not going to have enough time to go over more of this board, and it really sucks because next week the trade deadline will be gone.
Yeah,
but. What I'm essentially getting at here is that the options for the Preds right now defensively are slim.
What if they don't make a move?
It's very possible they don't. We got some questions coming up in our Twitter questions that will go over some of this. But my biggest thing right now is for folks that are worried about, hey, what are they going to do? Hey, what could they do? Well, of course, we'll get into it here in a minute. But you have to remember the cost of the players – coming to the Predators and the potential for losing prospects, losing draft picks. And what's this team going to do? You know, those are some of the questions you have to take into consideration, and just keep that in the back of your head. We'll talk more about it here in a minute. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions Zone on 104.5 The Zone.
Finding great.
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions Zone on 104.5 The Zone, at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter. 615-737-1045 is the number here in the studio. If you want to call in, join the conversation. Christopher Martel alongside Alex Dougherty from A to Z Sports. And hello. Darren Martel. Darren Martell. Now, Alex, I think you wanted to piggyback on a couple of things we were talking about with the trade board from last time.
I was just going to throw out a couple more options of defensemen that are on this list. I think that if you – so Nashville has a history of trading with Minnesota. Minnesota is possibly going to move one of their defensemen, Matt Dumba, or Jonas Brodin. Jonas Brodin, I think, would they be more likely to trade away? I think they
really
like...
Do you think they would, though?
Because, I mean, I do.
Brodin, he was supposed to be, like, the next Ryan Suter.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Brodin is very good. I think they're higher on Matt Dumba, and he's also younger, and they already signed him to a three-year or a four-year deal, I think, when they signed him. But Jonas Brodin would be a great fit for the Predators. I think he's a really solid defenseman both ways. Another Swedish defenseman coming in there. So I think that would be great. But there's some other options out there. What about Michael Delzato? Bringing him back.
No. I'd rather have Matt Dumba over here and have him.
I'd rather have Matt Dumba for sure.
But, I mean, Delzato, I think, was just a wrong place at the wrong time kind of deal. Kind of how, like, Cody Francis should have never been traded back here after he was traded away.
Was he better than Mike Santorelli?
Michael Delzato was not that bad.
Delzato was not that bad. I just think that it was trading Kevin Kline for Michael Delzato, and I thought that both...
The trade was bad.
It was a horrible trade, you know, and it was just...
But anyways, I was just going to mention those are some more options for defensemen. I think there's still some possibilities for trading defensemen. But I do... What you were saying, Darren, earlier, I think the most likely scenario is no trades. No trades at all.
At this point, I mean, it's a little... I think even David Poile sees it's maybe a little bit too late to try to reconfigure things, especially if you're going to add somebody new to the defensive outlook. It just looks like you're going to add a confusing piece of the puzzle, especially when you're trying to make that final push to the playoffs. So it looks like you just get Ryan Ellis back as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's your trade deadline acquisition right there, Ryan Ellis. And
yeah.
Another thing is, you know, I think he might realize last year, making all those trades that he did, the Kevin Fiala for Mikael Granlund swap, the trade to get Wayne Simmonds, the trade to get Brian Boyle, did that mess with the chemistry? I mean, there wasn't a ton of chemistry on the team, but did that even just make things even more confusing?
I think they tried to overcompensate and tried to add too much to a system that wasn't broken. I think they tried to fix what wasn't broken, and that's why you saw them falter in the playoffs. By adding Brian Boyle, Wayne Simmonds. What did Wayne Simmonds do for the
Predators? Wayne Simmonds did nothing.
The Wayne Simmonds trade was terrible.
Well, I'm not saying Brian Boyle was bad either, but he really wasn't a catalyst that helped the Preds and propelled them to the Stanley
Cup. Hindsight's 20/20 when we talk about this. Because, I mean, when you go to the trade deadline, you're looking for a piece that could potentially add something to your... You know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I mean,
the Brian Boyle trade was Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds were first and foremost to fix the power play. Brian Boyle did his part. Wayne Simmonds did not. That's why they made the trade.
Wasn't he such a special character because of the power play? He was like, well, he'll do everything. Wayne Simmonds.
Brian Boyle scored more power play goals than I think anyone down the stretch. So I think he was pretty solid.
Well, you know, let's get Ryan online. Ryan here in Nashville wants to talk about this. Ryan, what you got on your mind?
I heard you guys talking about Sammy Vatanen. I think that is actually the ideal piece if you're going to make any trade this off the trade at the deadline is to get Vatanen. He's playing with Coach Hines, so Hines knows how he is, how he can work in the system. And not to mention, when we do get Ryan Ellis back, or if we get Ryan Ellis back, what kind of Ryan Ellis are we going to get back? Are we going to get the Ryan Ellis back that we know that has no problem getting into dirty areas, no problem blocking shots, cleaning up the crease, or are we going to get a gunshot Ryan Ellis after his major concussion where someone's going to go after him and he's going to cower down or he's going to be afraid to block a shot knowing that he may get hit in the head again?
Great question. Great question, Ryan. And that's a perfect question to ask because, I mean, in all honesty, that is a really good way to look at it because and I've said it before, I've said that Nashville needs to take their time with Ryan Ellis because you don't know what the percentage of Ryan Ellis you're going to be getting back is. And that's also why I've said the Preds need to go out and get a better defenseman because what they have on third pairing is not working.
It's like what I said earlier about Ryan Ellis. You just can't put all your gold chips in on him when he gets back because like Ryan said on the phone call, you know, you don't know what you're going to get back. I mean, he's not going to be 100% like, bam, bam, there he is immediately. So, I mean, everyone's trying to give him this, oh, he's going to be the great, you know, leader of this team. He's going to, you just don't know.
No, and I like that point he made about Vatanen playing under Hines. I mean, yeah. You know, he is a Hines guy.
Very familiar with the system.
And very, like you said, very familiar with the system. And I think he could come right in and slot right in and be an asset immediately to the puzzle. So, I mean, that's something that needs to be considered when you think about it.
It would probably be a rental. I don't know that they would be able to keep him beyond this year.
It'd be tough. So. Money-wise, it'd be tough because there's already a bunch of pieces that are have to come off and come essentially get either re-signed or whatnot. So, yeah. It's interesting to look at. I know the trade deadline is in 5 days. So, I mean, we're going to...
If Poyle hasn't made a move by now, I don't think he's going to make one.
Yeah, he does tend to like to make the trade deadline day is not usually his day. He's done that a couple
times.
Okay,
well, you know, that leads me into some of these Twitter questions that we have.
Okay.
And this is a really good one to start out with, speaking about the trade deadline. Yellow5 on Twitter asks us, assuming GM David Poyle wants to sell, which Preds players, and I'm limited to three, mm-hmm. which Preds players presumably are going to be the untouchable ones?
Which Preds players are untouchable right
untouchable
now?
For trade.
I'm assuming we're going to take Pecorine out because he's
Rene and Saros are off the list.
Well and Rene has a no trade clause.
So does Yossi.
Which he
now.
Can waive.
But. So Yossi has one as well, doesn't he?
That doesn't start till next year.
Yes, correct. The only no trade, no move is Rene.
Well, then I'd say Yossi's untouchable. I mean, if it doesn't start till next year. Wait, yeah. Never mind then. He's already signed.
Okay, take give me five names. Five.
Arvidsson. I'll say Arvidsson's not touchable.
Interesting.
Okay. I don't think he's had enough time to actually get back in the form. You saw little spouts of that this weekend.
I
that he was
say Arvidsson's kind of touchable. $4.25 million for 5 years. That's a nice little contract if someone wants to trade away.
He's just now getting into like that comfort zone of his prime too. So I don't know.
I'm going. I this is actually pretty easy for me.
Okay.
Roman Yossi.
Yes.
Matt Duchene.
Okay.
Because they just signed him to a contract.
Yep.
Philip Forsberg.
Uh huh.
Ryan Johansson.
Okay.
I think is untouchable. And Mattias Ekholm.
Ah. Let me give my five. Roman Yossi, Mattias Ekholm, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, and number five.
Jared Tenorti.
Ryan Ellis.
Oh,
okay.
Well, you haven't seen Ellis back yet.
I guess Ryan Ellis would have to be on there as well. Yeah. Our lists are pretty similar, though.
It's kind of the same thing with Arvidsson, then.
Who's your untouchables, Darren?
I had Arvidsson.
Okay.
I have Johansson.
Okay.
I have Yossi.
Okay.
Duchene and Forsberg.
So you are leaving
Ekholm, sounds like.
You're leaving Ekholm touchable.
Yeah.
That's really weird, Darren.
Even if he's touchable, they're not going to touch him. Wait.
let's mosey on to the next question here. Let's mosey on. We're talking about touching.
And I'll sue.
Touch me and I'll sue. Okay, so next on our list, because we've got a whole bunch here. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of his delicious looking questions. Okay. Travis Campbell asked us, acquiring a defenseman or selling pending unrestricted free agent forwards, which is more likely? So
say that again.
Acquiring a defenseman in the trade. Or trading away potential unrestricted free agents like Granlund, Smith, Grimaldi, Blackwell.
Which one of those is more likely to happen?
Which is more likely?
Acquiring a defenseman.
Yeah.
At this point, because I think based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks out of Smith and Granlund.
So like, tough.
They're not going to trade one of them.
You know, when
I still don't think they can sign both of them.
Smith got
They're going to lose one of them. It's just going to happen.
I'm telling you right now, the way Smith's playing, I know Granlund's really stepped up his game, but Smith is kind of
an apology. Good.
Smith has been a staple in Nashville, and he's always he's proven it this year again.
Yeah.
He's consistent. When people doubted him, he's like, "Oh, here's a hat trick." By the way,
we got seven more questions to answer. Let's go ahead and take our break right now. We'll be back for the final segment and more. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone.
Whitten Marcy.
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. It's our last segment of the night at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter, 615-737-1045 if you want to get in this conversation. Christopher Martell alongside Alex Daugherty from A2Z Sports and Hello. Darren Martell. A bunch of great stuff. We got seven or so more questions to answer. Kobayashi Maru, So let's just go ahead and get it all.
Let's do it.
Actually, first and foremost, what are you laughing at, Chuckles?
Yeah, what in the
world? What's so funny?
Sorry. You know when you just get a word stuck in your head and you just keep saying it over
and
over?
Is it shenanigans? Because that's a fun word.
It's constipated.
Constipated? Are you constipated?
I'm not constipated.
Maybe you can take your constipated self out of this room until you get done laughing.
Sitting, before we start, I'll be quick. I was sitting on the couch eating sliced pieces of Kraft cheese.
Oh, gross, Darren.
And she came up to me.
You are part of a nasty set of subhumans that eat sliced cheese.
I handed her just these two unopened pieces. I'm like, hey, take these. I think I'm constipated.
Amanda does that. She eats sliced cheese. I can't stand that.
It's a good night. Like, no, but see,
Amanda will also open up a bag of shredded cheese and just stick her hand in there and grab a mouthful of that. Now, that's more acceptable than sliced cheese, in my opinion.
My fiance joined us here in the studio. She's a fan of croutons.
Croutons are fine. It's bread.
All right, well, back on track. I'm sorry.
Back on track. Constipated Darren over here.
Constipated.
All right. Friend of the show, Johnny, asks us, what's the worst current or past drought? You've seen the Preds go through against another team.
The worst current or past drought, meaning like without a loss,
win and loss. Yeah,
Coyotes were pretty bad.
Detroit was bad.
Yeah, that's
for a long time.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I mean,
and then Detroit in Nashville when Laviolette was here was really bad.
To this day, San Jose in the playoffs.
I mean, there was a time where for about 6 years there, Chicago. I mean, they could not beat Chicago in any form.
That first series, they had it won though until like a minute 30 left. If they would have won that game 5,
in 2010, even in the regular season, they couldn't beat Chicago at all, and they were okay. During the heyday of Taves.
I want to pull this one up here. The Preds' all time record in San Jose.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad one, too.
14-17-6 all-time in San Jose. I mean, for a Western Conference opponent, it's abysmal.
Or regular season?
I mean, it's not as bad as Vancouver. They're 14-21-1 in Vancouver.
I always thought the Predators, like, regular season against San Jose always went to their favor.
No, I'm talking about in San Jose. Yeah, at the actual SAP Center or whatever it's called now.
Ask Peck Arena how that Game 7 went a couple
HP
years ago.
Pavilion.
Yeah, it's called. I mean, I'm looking through here right now, and I want to look because I think road records will actually tell you more about how a team does against anybody than anything else. And right now I think the worst one is Vancouver, the 14-21-1. They don't do very well Canucks Palace or whatever it's called.
Well, this year hasn't boded well for them.
I don't know.
Detroit. Detroit's the worst. 14-25-9.
Those were the Holmstrom days.
Yeah.
The Chelios days.
Those are bad days. I mean, like the first 5 years of the organization, they went.
The arena is called the Bojangles Chicken Biscuits, home of the Vancouver Canucks.
Are you serious?
Hold on a second.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
The first 6 years against Detroit. They won 2 games in Detroit, and they lost 11. So they went 2-11-3 or 3-4.
Were they in Nashville or Detroit when they beat them 8-0?
I'm sorry. What was that question? Let's all pause for a second, Darren. Ask that question one more time.
I don't know why. No, I'm not going to get. No,
come on, Darren. No. Ask me that question again.
Were they in Nashville or Detroit when they beat them 8-0?
Shameful, Darren. Shameful. I want you to YouTube that one when you get home. Darren, they were here. It was 8-0.
Yeah, well, you know.
We were together watching the game.
I know. That's why I remember it. I can't remember if the Red Wings were in red or white.
What city were we in?
No, I said, were they in Nashville or Detroit? I didn't say we.
Who?
The Predators.
They were in Nashville.
Okay, I didn't see. That's what I was asking. You thought I said we. Open your ears. Are your ears constipated?
Well, I know you're constipated is what you are.
How would you know?
All right. Let's get on with the rest of our questions.
Yeah.
Nasty. All right. This is a good question. Colby Smith asked us, what's wrong with Forsberg, Arvidsson, Ryan Johansson, and Matt Duchene? Guys are supposed to be burning holes in the net, but are only burning a hole in our cap space. Good question. I think a lot of it's balances. I mean, if you really think about it, it's tough. It's tough when players go through droughts. You know, it really is because you look at it and you say, these are the top guys in the organization. These are the guys who are supposed to be scoring points, scoring points, scoring points, and nothing is going their way. Look at Forsberg against Carolina on Tuesday night. Forsberg was all over the dadgum ice and could not put one past Mrazek. And I think that's his play in a nutshell over the last month. You know,
talking about droughts, ask Craig Smith. I mean, that's a perfect example.
Only one of those guys is shooting over their career shooting percentage. It's Ryan Johansson. Yep. Ryan Johansson's shooting over his career shooting percentage.
Crazy
right
thing.
Now. Philip Forsberg is low. Matt Duchene's low. And I think the other one was Arvidsson that you mentioned. He's also low as well. So that's part of it. Bounces.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay here soon. We're running out of time. Let's get to as many of these as we can.
No Kobayashi?
We're going to get to Kobayashi. Big question, what is the current state of the Predators' goaltenders? Has UC shown enough, or will it be time to start looking for some more help in that department?
Oh,
I said this during the break.
I think Saros is fine.
Saros is fine.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a corner has been turned. I know Pekka-Rinne maybe not on Tuesday, but it's looked better.
I agree. I think Saros has turned the corner.
You think that he's going to take? He's the starter now?
No, I mean, I think they're still going to split time.
I said this during the break. I just think that one of the goalies just needs to start playing badly consistently, so we can just go ahead and have a number one goaltender.
Dynamite drop in there, Darren.
Thank you.
Josh Hobbs asks us, why haven't we sold the farm yet? I mean, seriously.
When did we get a farm?
Milwaukee is what he is talking about. And I think because you don't need to do that.
Oh, definitely not this year.
No. I mean, I think with the way things are, you don't know if the Preds are going to be a playoff team or if they're not going to be a playoff team. This is not the year you want to start selling off your prospect pieces when you don't know what's going to happen here in the years to come. You need to keep these guys intact at least for one more season so you can see what you're going to need to come down the road.
Yep. The Predators have all their draft picks, and they've got even extra ones that they've saved from previous trades. Keep them all.
Last question, and this is actually an interesting one. Bobby Mizey asks us, on the lighthearted side, rank who you would take in a fight. Cody McLeod, Rich Kloon, Jordan Tutu, or Austin Watson?
Not Watson.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. Number one being the guy you would take in a fight, and number four being the guy you would not want to take in a fight.
McLeod.
Like fighting. You're fighting.
What were they? McLeod, Kloon?
McLeod, Kloon, Tutu, and Watson.
Okay, I already know who mine is.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. My number four who I wouldn't want to take is Rich Kloon. Mm. Rich Kloon is a professional boxer, fighter, and he takes lessons, and I've seen him.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, dude will wail on you.
Oh, we want number – so number one selection is
fight. Number one would be who you'd want to fight. Number four would be the least person you want to fight.
Number one's Watson.
You'd want to fight Watson?
Well, he hugs.
I would probably choose Watson, honestly. I really would.
I would choose Jordan, Tutu.
Oh, no. Tutu would be three for me.
I'm willing to take my chances.
Kloon at the bottom, then Tutu.
I'm willing to take my chances against Jordan Tutu. I'm willing to take my chances.
Okay. That would have been fun with that. That would have been my number four.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm willing to take my
chances. That guy, it's because of the speed. Okay.
Let me ask you.
He's got that Caleb Plant speed.
Right. Well, 2007. Do you remember Stefan Robidoll?
Yeah.
That punch, that glove.
Don't
fist?
Matter.
You want
I'm Christopher Martell. I can go up and get. No, that's bad. Okay, so that's where we're at. Do we got time, Ryan? Do we got time for Kobayashi?
Quit yapping.
Let's go, Kobayashi Maru. Let's go.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
The Kobayashi Maru leadership moment of the week.
One
very quickly. I'm giving it to John Hines. I mean, I really am, because I think with the way he's answered some of the questions that have gone on around the team and surrounded the mental toughness and how the team has evolved since he's taken coaching ownership of the team. I think he's continuing to give the answers that the fans want, that the media is looking for, and I think that's what you're going to need going through the rest of the year. You need a coach who's going to answer.
He's not afraid to be blunt at all. I mean, he's made no qualms about sending his best players because they're just not performing. And what happens the next time they're in? They perform.
He answers like a real human being.
Yes.
That's very nice.
Better than, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
And That's a lineup decision.
You can reach Alex at AlexDoughty1. You can reach Darren at TNorman87.
Oh, come on,
you
give him the right one.
You can reach Ryan, our producer, at RockinRudy1053. You can reach me at @KMartell_sports. You can reach the show at NeutralZone1045. You can get us online, www.NeutralZone1045.com. All of our stuff is written there and posted there. You can be back with us in 1 week for another wonderful episode of Predators Hockey Talk. This has been The Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on a 104.5 The Zone. Thanks, guys.
Constipated.